Nervous, but really honored and humble. Wow. Sometimes the hat that they put on your head is so big that you cannot, you have to hold it with your hands. You guys are awesome. Calvary Church is awesome. This is church. If there is any other church, it is in heaven. Stay here and go up with Brother Grant and all of the saints of this church up there. Amen. I'm really humble. I'm humble and nervous, but I want to do it. It's worth doing it. Amen. God bless you all. I'm here to introduce the man that put me here. He dragged me here. What an awesome man. He's blessed us, and I want to just ask you to give a big applause to Brother Forkpa as he comes with the big word of God.
Come on, give it up for Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering in the house. Hallelujah. Let everything that have breath praise. Come on, praise him. He woke you up this morning sound in your mind. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank you for being so responsive. Amen. We don't want to take too much time. I'm booked 3 times today. That makes a preacher to keep his message short. Even if he wanted to preach longer, he couldn't because time is not on our side. We want to first of all recognize the presence of Almighty God, who alone deserves all the glory and all the honor. Want to give honor to Bishop Grant for allowing me to come. I wanted to come earlier, but the time wasn't right, so I had to wait just a little. You know, I love Calvary Gospel Church so much, I can't stay away. You guys can't just get rid of me. You try, you can, because this is a good church. Somebody said, this is a good church. It's an excellent church. We recognize the presence of Brother Roy. Amen. Grand pastor of the church, Brother Thomas, amen, and Brother Cloud, and all of you wonderful people, we greet you in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. It is our pleasure to join you to celebrate 1 year of victory with the African immigrants. We want to say thank you so very much for being so kind to our African daughter works. Amen. This church has been very, very kind, very good, very supportive. I also want to take this time to say thank you, Calvary Gospel Church. When I had to undergo surgery, this church stood with me in prayer and in finances. I want to take this time to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The devil, the enemy, wanted to get rid of me. But thank God he misses each time. Here I am. Still standing by his grace. Acts of the Apostles. Amen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 12, 1 through 8. But first, let's read Revelation 3, 20 before Acts 12. Revelation 3, verse number 20, when you find it, say amen. It's easy to find since it's the last book of the Bible. Amen. It simply says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is standing at the door. Somebody say, at the door. Amen. Now in Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 12. I want to commence reading the first verse. Now about that time, Herod the Great stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him unto four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Intending, isn't there something how the devil plans evil? That after Easter, to bring him forth to the people, which meant it was execution time. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer. Somebody say, but prayer. Was made without a church, without ceasing of the church for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Isn't that funny? He's sleeping on the night, the eve of execution, bound between, with two chains. Amen. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. In verse number 12. And when he had considered the things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, somebody said, Peter knocked at the door of the gate, damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the door or the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. In other words, you out of your mind. She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, well, he's dead. That's his angel. That's his ghost. Isn't it funny how we prayed and don't expect an answer? But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. That's funny, isn't it? I want to preach on the message, and I'm serious. I'm going to be brief. The subject this morning is your answer is at the door. Your answer is at the door. I feel the Holy Ghost already just announcing the text. What I want you to do is to put your Bibles down. It's celebration time. Just raise your hands in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I feel it right now. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Give the Lord a 5 seconds. Can I hear some noise in this house? Let everything that has. I can hear you, church, Calvary Gospel Church. Raise your voice and give him a praise. Oh, God, we thank you. We bless your name. For we ask in Jesus' name, the people shout, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Your answer is at the door. Amen. Here is the question. Here is the question. Would you answer a knock at a door if you were in expecting someone? Would you answer a knock at a door if you weren't expecting someone? Normally, not really. We don't usually open doors to strangers, most especially if we were not looking for that particular person. Amen. I remember back home, amen, I was doing a very fine job. I mean, in other words, I had a very good job on the mission station. Amen. And I love the job. After a year of a successful ministry, I call it a successful ministry because people were being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I was over at a Christian school. All of a sudden, I got fired. Isn't that funny how when you think you're doing your best is not good enough. I got fired from my job and I was given exactly 1 week, if my memory serves me right, to forget the vicinity. Amen. I had an apartment furnished and I was asked to leave. I was so frustrated because I had, amen, my wife and I had our children at the time. I didn't know where else to go. I didn't have another house to move to. I just didn't have another job waiting. So what I did, I told my wife, I'm going to go indoor and I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm not going to get out until I have an answer. I told my wife, don't let anybody bother me. I don't want you to knock at my door. Just leave me alone. Have you ever prayed with the door closed? My door was shut. I was praying for an answer. I said, God, I don't know where else to go. I don't know where to take my family. I've got no house. I've got no money. I'm going to stay because somewhere I learned if I would dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Have you ever prayed behind a closed door? Glory to God, when the door was shut. I'm not coming out. Don't bother me about food. There comes a time in the life of every individual when food doesn't matter. Water doesn't matter. The voice of people, you want to shut out everything. The only voice I want to hear is the voice of God. Am I talking to you? Have you ever been there before? Oh my God. The problem with the closed door mentality is when you have stayed too long behind the closed door, you develop the mentality that that's how it's supposed to be always. But a closed door is just for a season. You know what? Let me warn you. I came to this beautiful city to celebrate what God has done for the African ministry for one year. I didn't come to mourn. I didn't come to weep. I didn't come to a pity party. Amen. I came to rejoice. When you are being behind a closed door for the long time, you forget that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know who I'm preaching to here today. Some way I got used to the closed door. Amen. And I'm praying and I'm mourning and I'm crying before God. I'm complaining. Have you ever poured out your heart to God in prayer? That's what I was doing. Amen. I was in there, sister, for only 3 days. No voice, no visitor, no. I told my wife, just throw some water in here. Forget about food. Amen. And then on the third day, there was a knock at the door. But you see, that kind of got me a little upset because I didn't want any knock at the door. I'm now developing the closed door mentality. Don't bother me. I'm praying for the breakthrough. Amen. But what I can understand, this man began to knock at the door. Amen. He said, open the door. I told him in my heart, I don't want to open the door. Don't bother me. He said, you don't understand. What you've been praying for is already is already here. Your answer is knocking at the door. And when I finally opened the door, I met a man face to face and said, "Brother Fopar, we heard about your misfortune, but there's a job waiting for you now. A car is assigned to you. You got a driver. You don't have to pay. You got an apartment. You didn't understand." I say the answer was knocking at the door, and I was still praying. Oh, yes, it's good to pray for something, but you got to know when to transition from prayer to praise. Sometimes we miss it. We pray and cry the moon. Don't know that God wants to transition you from one point to another. Somebody shout yes. Somebody in the house say yes. My God, I feel the breakthrough spirit in this place. I walked out. I was fasting. I broke the fast before midday. And I enter into a brand new season. Instead of the season of prayer, I enter the season of praise. You gotta know how to transition from one season to another. You gotta know that there's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. That's the problem I have with the book. The picture of Jesus is standing at, amen, he's standing at the Laodicean church, and he's standing at the door and he's knocking to come in. The thing about that picture is the door knob is on the inside, not on the outside. And they're having church, but having no result. They're having church. They're serious Pentecostal folks. They love to pray. They love to travail. But Jesus said, "There's no more time to beg and to knock, because the answer that you have been waiting for, I'm here with a package." I don't know who I'm talking to here today. You've been praying too long. You've been waiting too long. Whatever you've been praying for, the answer is knocking, knocking, knocking. Knocking at the door. Open the door. Let the celebration begin. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh my God. My God. But here's the problem. In Acts chapter 12, the church is behind closed door. You know why? Because the same fox that killed John the Baptist went after James and killed him with the sword. It seems that it is bad time for the church. Amen. And then to add insult to injury, that same fox grabbed James, the brother of John, and put him behind bars, intending. What I like about God, man can plan, but the final things come from God. I don't know who I'm talking to here. You don't know what the devil been planning. Amen. Against, he got all his sign. He's got all of his plan lined up for you, that you are going to die such and such. But I stopped by at Calvary Gospel Church to announce that the devil doesn't have the final say. The devil doesn't have the final sin. Jesus has the final sin. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. When he opens the door, nobody can shut it. Somebody better say yes in the house. put him in jail. He said, after Easter, you're going to be a dead duck. Going to kill you just like I killed James. It doesn't work that way, buddy. Amen. While the devil was at work, God had a different plan. May I tell you, church, that the plan, the thoughts that God has for you, it's not a plan and a thought for evil. You got to read Jeremiah. My God, he has a plan for you. A plan to give you a future. You didn't hear me, church. I said God has a plan. He wants you to have a prosperous future. Amen. He doesn't want you to have evil. It is the devil who wants you to have evil. But God has a better plan. Tell your neighbor, say, I have a better plan. God has a better plan for you. I said, I'm going to say it again. Your future is better than your past. Oh, yes. You might be lingering in jail now, but your future is still untouched. Amen. Has never been messed with before. God has a better plan for you. You say, preacher, you don't know where I am right now. I say, God has a better plan for you. Glory to God. Amen. Here is it. While Peter was placed in jail, placed between two soldiers with a hand chain. Amen. It doesn't look like a present. It doesn't look like a pleasant presence. Sometimes your past is ugly, but your present is even worse. And what that makes you? It makes your past to bleed into your presence and contaminate your future. I stop by to let you know that no matter what happened yesterday, amen, don't let that affect your today, because what you allow today will determine your future. I came to tell you, amen, if any man be in Christ, amen, he is a new creature. All things, somebody shout, all things have passed away, and behold, all things becomes new. Amen. He's between two soldiers. It looks dark and bleak. And the church is praying without stopping. That's just simple English. The church did not stop praying. The problem I have with the church is they didn't know when to transition. Have you ever seen a bunch of saved folks, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and they were always in the same season? The light of sinners sang, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that brings men from a world of care. And bids me now, my father's through, makes all my wants and wishes known. And I say, in seasons of distress, that often grieves my soul has often found relief in the sweet hour of prayer. They are praying. They are praying. They are in their seasons of distress. Glory to God. They're without stopping. And then all of a sudden, the season change. You didn't hear me. I said the season change. They didn't even realize that the season had changed. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be funny? Everyone around here wearing winter coat now. In my hat, in my gloves, in my boots. Leave me alone. Those are my stuff. But what you don't understand, the winter has passed. Leave my stuff alone. My heaters are on Amen. My heat bill keeps coming. Leave me alone. What we need to do, Pastor Graham, and I know you know this in the Holy Ghost, it's time to transition. The winter is over. You didn't hear me. I say the winter is over. The birds are singing. The flowers are blooming. It's celebration time. You need to wake up. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. They're still praying. And then an angel came from heaven. They pray so much. The thing I like about Pentecostal folks, when they start to pray, there is no rest in heaven. They kept knocking on heaven's door. Don't play with Pentecostal folks. We know how to pray. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray late at night. Amen. We have no time to stop to know what heaven is saying. But then when they pray, my dear brother, God sent an angel from heaven. Amen. And he came into the prison. Amen. There was a bright light that shined in the prison. I don't care how dark your world is. The angels have already arrived. There's a light in your corner. Who am I talking to? And the angel came and knocked him on the side and said, rise up. And his chains fell off his hands. Liberation had taken place. Peter stood up. He said, put on your clothes, put on your sandals and follow me. They walked to the first gate. It opened by itself. They went to the second gate. Amen. The problem was not with the first gate. The problem was not with the second gate. You know where we had a problem? At the door where the saints of God were. Can I speak to this church? What are you doing behind the closed door? The prayer you pray, the revival you pray for, the healing you pray for, the breakthrough you pray for is right at your door. Are there apostolic Pentecostal people in this house today? Peter goes to the gate and he's knocking, knocking, knocking. And nobody, isn't it funny how we pray and we don't pray with open eyes? We pray with closed. Have you ever seen Pentecostal people? I'm not making fun. I'm Pentecostal. From the day I was born of the Spirit, I'm Pentecostal. We pray with closed eyes. I'm real tight. Peter kept knocking. It was a little girl, my brother, that ran to the door. Amen. You know, excitement. And she recognized Peter's voice. She ran back in her innocence and said, it's Peter. They said, you gotta be out of your mind. It can't be him. You know what? That's the same Herod that killed James. Amen. And now he apprehended Peter. He cannot come out. All our prayers are in vain. Even though we believe God, but we don't believe him for this. Are you limiting God? Are you putting a limitation on God? But Peter kept knocking. Oh my God. Peter, thank God Peter kept knocking at the gate. Let me ask a question. What if what you have been praying for finally shows up at the door? What do you do? I think this church needs to go up in a flame of Holy Ghost celebration. I don't know about you. Amen. If because what I've been praying for if it finally shows up at the door, I transition from prayer to praise. I transition from mourning to celebration. I came to tell you, it's celebration time, because Peter and I came at the gate. Finally, they say, well, it might be him, but that's his spirit. That's his angel, which means that he's already dead. You see, there's kind of dead mentality. If the devil could kill him, he can also kill him. Don't know that there's a time and a season for everything. This time, no, devil, no. I said at this time, no. It's a brand new season. Glory to God. And when they finally opened the door, they saw Peter. And what, you know, you think they went into celebration? No, they were astonished. What a people. If you don't want it to show up, don't pray for it. Because you will get what you pray for. Oh, you didn't hear me in church. Are you expecting something? You know, I know this church. This is a fine church. This is a fine church. This is a Calvary Gospel Church. It's a fine church. Just in my own discernment, by my own discernment, these men of God, these people that have been praying for revival for years. In fact, when I saw the announcement, there's a prayer going on here. It's called a revival prayer meeting. Amen. You know what they are praying for? They are praying for God to send people, for God's spirit to draw people. Hear me well. You gotta be careful with what you pray for, because it will show up. Last night, Bishop Grant, I look around in your church, in this good church. There were African immigrants with their hands raised towards them. We had a few Spanish folks, and we had people from this fine church. Glory to God. And one after one, amen, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Amen. They were baptized in Jesus' name. You know what? What you've been praying for, what you've been fasting for, is at the door. It has show up. It may not look like what you ha. Hey. Listen, I'm looking at the clock, but y'all listen. One young man in the midst of the service took his phone in this church. I think you're supposed to turn off your cell phones. But what I like about the newcomers, they don't know our rules. He called someone, I don't know from where, and said, I have found a church and the Spirit of God is here. This is where I fight. He got online and he was baptized the same night, last night. What do you pray for? It's at the door. Stop praying for revival. Revival is out ready here. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. But listen, here's the problem. Maybe what shows up at your door might not be exactly what you wanted. When Peter shows up from jail, he's not as good looking and clean. Doesn't smell right. When you come from jail, you smell differently. He doesn't sound like a Peter. Certain young man that came just as he is, long hair. I said, that's fine. When the Peter shows up, he doesn't look like a Peter. Oh, the church keeping quiet now. Because when you pray for revival, all kinds of people show up. They don't sound like us. They don't look like you. They don't have the same color of skin like you. They might be red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. Oh, you didn't hear me. They are coming. They are coming. They are coming. They are coming. Church, they are coming. Lift up your eyes. They are coming. Hey, I'm looking at the time, but listen to me. You know, I love the prodigal son. We call him that. Jesus didn't call him that, but we call him the prodigal son. He comes back home from the field. And I think that what made the prodigal son to go back home, Pastor Graham, was the fact that he knew there would be a daddy waiting for him. There would be an open door. Maybe before the prodigal son left, he's not exactly called that. The daddy said, well, son, you insisted that I should give you what belongs to you. Really, nothing belongs to you. Everything's mine because I'm still alive. Amen. But I will let you have what you think is yours. But when you leave, son, the door is still open. So when he got into a serious trouble, amen, now eating among the pigs and looking like the pig, smelling like the pig, he knew that there would be an open door. He said, I will rise and go to my father. Oh my God. You know why he said that? Because there was a father that was constantly looking for his son to return. And when he arrived at the door, you know what the father been praying? You know, when you pray for all kinds of things show up right there. He sees the son. Oh, well, the father would have said, I pray for you to come, but not in this manner. Son, you smell bad. Son, you come on, go and clean up. Go and clean up. No. The father embracing in his mess. You know, there's a blessing in the mess. He embraced him and kissed him. With all of the pig mess all over him, he embraced him and said, send for the fatted cow. Kill his celebration time. Let me say something as I close. Amen. And they began to make merry. There was a party. You know, there's a party at the church of God. Amen. There's a party going on. You know who had an attitude? The elder brother. That was the elder brother's mentality. He heard the music. He heard the noise. You know, it is the critics that always hear the noise. This church is too noisy. This church is too emotional. What is all of this for? Critics, it's party time. And the church. I like noise. Oh! The joy. Wonderful joy in the camp. Joy. A sinner has come home. Joy. Wonderful joy in the house of God. The elder brother mentality. He said, Father, I've always been here. I never seen. I didn't waste your substance with harlot and so on. You know, the holy people, the sanctified people. They are the one that we have problem with this door. They say, keep the door shut. Don't let them come back in here. But there have been some good people praying at Calvary Gospel Church. They've been praying for the backsliders to come back home. Keep the door open in the name of Jesus. My God. He said, Daddy, you never gave me a party before. But hear me. I want to drop this point. The elder son could have been having a party on his own. You know why? Because the father didn't just divide the substance with the younger brother. He had his share. Oh, read the scripture. He had his share, but he decided to stay home. Why is he not having a party? Oh, you didn't hear me. Elder sisters, you should be having your own party. But no, why did you let him in? Because I was expecting him to show up at the door. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Oh my God. They started coming in waves. Pastor Grant, let me say something. The Lord opened my eyes in Isaiah 60. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. They all gather together and they are coming. They are coming. Build more benches. Build more pews, enlarging the place. They are coming from the streets of Madison. They are coming from the east, from the west, from the south, from the north. Am I talking to you? They are coming because there's an open door. Your answer is stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Stand to your stand to your feet. Everybody, if you can, stand to your feet. I want you to raise your hands towards heaven. Oh, come on, church. Just raise your hands towards heaven right now. Whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've been longing for, your answer is right there. At the door, I want you to, amen, if you want, amen. If you want a baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come and stand here on my left. If you want, amen, deliverance, glory to God, I want you to stand in the center. If you want healing for your body, just stand right there. Come on, encourage somebody to come. You know the other in this place. Those that need a baptism of the Holy Ghost, stand on my left, which will be your right. Those that need healing for their body, stand right before me. And those that need, amen, just come on from everywhere right now. Oh my, raise your hands as you come right now. Raise your hands.